yanlışlık yanım cennetle kıyacak şerimir tam yine taşmay. See Gurave Namah. So I was requested to talk about Kamsa. So every day we talk about a demon. Most of the demons, when they appear to Krishna, they have an animal form, but they also have a human form, and by their mystic powers, some persons, by performing austerities, you can get mystic power, and you can use this mystic power for the good or for evil, right? Just like you have white witches and you have black witches. And that, you know, so some people use whatever talents they have, if they're wealthy or whatever, they use their money for the good of people, and others not just for themselves, like that. So the living entity, in general, we are selfish. So we especially become selfish if our life is in danger. It's like, for instance, sometimes there is like in a train there's an accident or a plane accident, and sometimes most people get killed because they just trample each other just going towards the exit because of selfish reasons. You don't go when there's an explosion. No, you go first. And they go trample on top of their heads, etc. And this way, many people died in cases like train accidents or plane accidents, just because of the anxiety and I want to get out. Because it's our nature that we want to save ourselves. If you see a little ant walking and you go like this, then they will try to get out of your grip or whatever. That is just our nature of the living entity, that we want to survive. And if it's at the cost of other living entities, then alas. But great souls, sometimes they were even, what was the name of this brahmachari or this great sage who was requested to, for his bones to be, to give to, did you say the name? Yes, you know, so he was requested, please, you know, actually the demigods went to him, right? They said the only way to conquer the demons is we need your bones. Was it the bones or something like, yeah? So what would you say if someone would come, excuse me, the manor, you know, it's a big mess, etc. The only thing we can save is we need your bones. Is it okay? What would you say? Oh, yes. No, can we not do something? How about this? How about that? You try to find ways to get out of this tricky situation. But a great sage said, oh yes, my bones, yes, take it. Which one? Hand, everything, take it. Like that. And that, so you see, whenever there's a test coming, then it shows, you know, how selfish you are. You know, like if there's prasadam or there's not enough prasadam, you know, will you share that little prasadam which you just found with the other devotees? Like that. So we go back to Kamsa. Kamsa was just, outwardly, a very nice bloke, a nice prince. And so there was one time, there was a wedding of Vasudev to Devaki. And Devaki was like his youngest sister. So the custom in India is when the sister gets married, and when she's taken by her husband to her new house, in this case a castle, then the elder brother drives the sister to her new house. So in this way, because this girl, she has been all, you know, she's been all the way, she's been brought up in the house of the father, and then all her family, then there's father and mother, she has to say goodbye, and at least her elder brother is there with her too, so she doesn't feel all alone going into this new world like that. So in this way, Kamsa said, well, it's time for you to go. I will be your driver, please. The chariot is ready. So Devaki and Vasudev, they got in the chariot. And she was not alone, actually, because there were many maidservants. Whenever, especially when there's a princess married off, the father of the bride they give in India they give dowry, you know, and but if it's a princess, then she gets lots of dowry, you know, lots of gold, saris, jewelry, maid servants, like that. And often it is described in Vedic literature that maid servants or servants, they're on the bottom of the list. You know, it's like a human life. A servant is not that much valuable, like a slave in the old days. Even in the Bible, you read about slaves or you buy them. Yeah, and it's a little strange for nowadays, but that was just common. But they were taken care of nicely, you know, not with a whip, you know, like that. But they were taken care of them. A servant was, you know, was considered like a son, you know. It's like that. They were not exploited. And the tendency here in the Western world or in general is, you know, we try to, Kali Yuga is that we exploit, you know, everyone who's below us or whatever. So Kamsa was driving the chariot, and everything was in a good mood. The musicians were playing flutes and all kinds of Indian instruments. And then suddenly, there was a voice coming from the sky. And you know, a voice. And he didn't see, it was unembodied. She didn't see anyone. And the voice went like, "Kamsa, you fool. You drive the sister, the chariot of your sister and brother-in-law, but you do not know that their eighth child will kill you." So what would you do when you hear this? So Kamsa, what did he do? He was driving just with his left hand, relaxed, just with one hand, you know, holding the reins of the chariot. So when he heard this voice, then immediately he dropped he took Devaki's hair, and with his right hand, because Satyras always carry a sword, and he went, and he was about to kill her. And then Vasudeva grabbed his arm, and he said, "What are you doing? You can't do this." And he tried saying all kinds of philosophical reasons why he shouldn't kill his sister. He says, How are you planning to kill your sister? Your sister, your baby sister. How can you do this? This is unheard of. You know, your reputation will be spoiled, and this is not possible." And he gave all kinds of arguments, but Kamsa still wasn't. Now, you know, he wanted to kill her, and then Vasudev, then he tried to find another way. Then he thought, Vasudev. He was very famous for one thing. Anyone knows where he was famous for? Huh? For keeping his word. And a Kshatriya, you know, like Brahmins, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, they all have their qualities. And a Kshatriya, one of the qualities is, you know, that if they give you word, then, you know, just like Arjun says, if you know, about the Brahmin who lost his child, you know, I will get your son from wherever he is, you know, even if he's in hell. And if not, then I will go into the fire, you know, like that. And then the Brahmin was satisfied. This is very nice. So it's like that. If a Kshatriya gives a word, and not like here in the, you know, like, if someone gives a word and then, you know, this happens. My wife flipped out, and I shouldn't do that. And this. Oh, my son is sick. And they find all kinds of reasons why not to do it, like that. So then Vasudev said, please, you know what? I'll give you my word. You know, he said, first of all, a very, very intelligent thing. He said, you know, it's not Devaki you have to fear. The omen said, it's a child, her eighth child. So why should you kill Devaki? You know what? As soon as there will be a baby born, I will hand it to you. And Kamsa was saying, I was thinking, that makes sense, right? Devaki is not going to kill me, so yeah, no, I shouldn't kill her. And after all, it's not such good PR to kill a woman. You know, it's not, because, you know, they have the reputation to think of, right? And especially demons, they are very proud. So, and no, imagine in the magazine, if there would be a newspaper, Kamsa slays sister. Oh, no, bad PR. But because there were no papers at that time, but they were talking. You know, remember Lord Ramachandra when he was in Ayodhya, and he was just being as a king. They go in disguise to hear what people say. So Ramachandra, King Ramachandra, was in Ayodhya, and then he certainly heard a quarrel between a washerman and his wife. And the wife, she hadn't come home that night. And he said, I'm not like our king, you know, who takes his wife back after, you know, like this. And Ramachandra heard that, and he thought, oh dear, I took Sita back. Maybe that's not such a good example. Listen, so like that. So the kings were, you know, they were checking out and always afraid that people were the bad kings, you know, that if there is an enemy or if they're spies, because even in those days there were spies. And so there was also anti-spy, contra-spy, or you know, contra-intelligence, and they were in the city to check if there were any spies of any other kingdoms who wanted to maybe to usurp his kingdom. It's all politics, Kshatriyas, you know, like that. So they have to think all of those things. So Kamsa was thinking, yeah, it's good, yeah, I don't have anything to fear of Devaki, yeah. Okay, you take her, yes, very good. And then, you know, of course, Vasudeva was pleased. But it said in the Bhagavatam, it said Vasudev was relieved, but he knew that, you know, the words of such a personality like Kams, you can't really trust. So he was, oh dear. And then what happened? Devaki became pregnant. So it's stated in the Bhagavatam that Vasudev, wanted to keep his word of honor. In my eyes, being a sentimentalist, or I was thinking, well, why didn't he flee away, you know, in the middle of the night, and just like Joseph and Maria did, you know, they took Jesus and it just went away on a donkey and somewhere to another country, so that King Herod, who also wanted to kill Jesus at that time, you know, and the omen was there also, so I was thinking like that, but who am I? So it's all for the sake of Leela. Also, of course, these things happen. So comes Vasudev, took his firstborn to Kamsa, and he says, "My dear Kams, as I've promised, he is my firstborn." Can you imagine how he would feel? Can you imagine your father? You know, anyone who was a father. To bring your firstborn, you know, like it's the firstborn child in a marriage. And generally, I don't have children, so I don't know that feeling. But I can imagine that it's always said that the firstborn is very special. You know, it's and then of course every child is special, but the firstborn is amazing. And it's born, and then he takes the child from Devaki. Can you imagine Devaki? So the child sees. And he takes it from her and says, oh no, but she surrenders because her husband promised. So she had to give in, although, you know, she was probably crying and sobbing and, you know, like that. So, but anyway, so Vasudev brought the firstborn child to Kams. Kams, he said, here it is. And then Kams, when he saw Vasudev coming there with his child and ready to offer it to him, then he became so pleased, you know, and then he thought, wow, you know, I can really trust this Vasudev. And then he was thinking, well, actually, it was the eighth child, isn't it? And then being a Kshatriya, he wanted to be a little magnanimous, is that word, you know, and he said, you can take that child away, it's all right, after all, it will be the eighth child, so. Take him back. And Vasudev took him back, but of course, fearing that any time Kamsa would change his mind. So then, what happened? Who appeared on the scene? And Narada. If you read this book, you might think, why does he do this? Why does a devotee of the Lord go to an enemy of a devotee and tell them something which might put them in danger? But all this is for the sake of the Leela, for the pastime. So Narada Muni appeared, and Kams was honored that this sage arrived in his castle, and he was very friendly and appreciative, and very, oh, great honor that you're here. And then Kams said, and then Narada Muni said, "My dear Kams, you know, did you know, he said, that in a previous life you were a great and powerful king by the name of Kalanemi, but you were killed by your arch enemy, Sri Vishnu. Vishnu. And he says, and this very same Vishnu is destined to take his birth, you know, on this earth, you know, in the womb of Devaki. And you should also know that all the demigods, they have appeared in the Yadu dynasty. They're all your enemies. Like that. So, Kamsa was very, of course, if you get a good advice, someone they say, oh, thank you very much, Narada. Thank you, I'm so obliged. Thank you. And Narada went away, and he immediately gathered his ministers. He immediately went to the prison where Devaki and Vasudeva were. Or no, they were not even. They were put in prison. And he killed the firstborn child. He just threw it against the ceiling, or he smashed it. He did it in different ways. And like that. So can you imagine how Devaki would feel? You know, and Vasudeva. He said, so being a devotee of the Lord, it's very, very, you are tested a lot. And whenever you are tested, then just remember the great devotees. It's nothing, nothing. If you're tested, it means that you're making a little advancement. And so you're, like if you're a baby, right? I'm not going to fight with you, or, you know, but if you're a little, if you can, you know, if you're a little stronger, etc., I might challenge you. So if a devotee, Maya, you know, Maya likes everyone on her side, you know, her task is to test those who want to be, aspiring to be a devotee, how sincere they are. So in the beginning, she leaves you alone. So you're chanting, Hare Krishna, oh, it's great, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, go on, Hare Namo, Sankirtan, yes, take a book. Everything is great, you know, everything is nice, you're fired up, and everything, you're full of life, and everything is new, and lovely, and tasty, and a prasanam is there, and everyone around you is a pure devotee, like that. And then, you know, gradually you become older, you know, you take initiation, you're a brahmachari, and then, you know, then she'll start giving you trouble, you know, like that. All kind of temptation, adoration, profit, whatever. Maybe you can inherit, you get an inheritance for your grandmother. What about if you get now $1 million, what will you do? Bye-bye, devotees, Haribol, I'm off to Hawaii. Or what will you do with $1 million of pounds? Like that. So when there's a test coming, it means that Maya sees that you're now getting a little serious, she finds a way to take the rug under your feet. And she does all kinds of tricks. And by one does it by anger, one by lust, one by greed, one by madness, one by envy, generally all by illusion. So year after year, going back to the story, Devaki gave birth to a child. And each year, Kamsa came and killed the child. So, when the seventh child, when Devaki was pregnant of the seventh child, who was the seventh child? Yes. And then the Lord, he ordered Yogamaya, right? Yogamaya, to transfer the child, the embryo in the womb of Devaki, to the womb of Rohini, which was a co-wife, another wife of Vasudeva. And she, when Kamsa imprisoned Devaki and Vasudeva, she has fled to Vrindavan, or Nandagram, or wherever it was there, Gokula, and took shelter of Nanda Maharaj. So she was living there. And so Lord Balaram took birth there. and like that. So, but then Devaki became pregnant of the eighth one. Or no, the seventh one was like a miscarriage. So it looked like it was a miscarriage then. So it's a little unclear. Well, you know, for was it the eighth child, the seventh child, or a miscarriage? Does that count? That is also goes there. From does that count? Is this will this be now the seventh or the eighth? But anyway, so then another child was born. The guards who were, you know, because when Devaki was highly pregnant, the guards, they were there sitting outside, and suddenly they heard. And so they, oh God, the eighth child, oh, we have to tell Kamsa. So they were afraid, you know, maybe, you know, if you give bad news to a king, sometimes they kill you, you know, because they get so angry. So, Your Majesty, a child is born. Oh, and Kamsa, he was so in anxiety, and he immediately went to the prison, and his hair scattered all over, and completely, you know, if you're in anxiety, then your mind doesn't work properly. You go, oh, what to do, what to do, oh, the eighth, oh, no, he's gonna come, oh, no. And so he went there to the prison, and then Devaki, she held tight to the child, and he said, give me that child. And Devaki said, but it's a girl, it's a girl. Because at that time, the eighth one, I forgot to tell that, Krishna and Yogamaya, they were swapped. They had swapped places. Yogamaya has done that. So Krishna, not yet, later on. Sorry. So before Kams came, everyone, due to Yoga Maya, everyone has fallen asleep in the palace. And thank you, Super Soul. I didn't have time to study it, so I remember again. So then everyone has fallen asleep, and miraculously the chains, because they were in chains, the chains just dropped off Vasudev. And then he was ordered to bring little Krishna, you know, through the, you know, through Nandagram, and then take the girl who has, Mother Yasoda has taken birth to a little girl, and take that little girl and put it on the back, on the lap of Mother Yasoda. So he took the child, you know, his son, and then he went into the river. You know what happened in the river? Can you imagine? In a river, and the river was like ferocious. You know, you have rivers which are like this, but this river was like, it was in the middle of night. The waves were going like this. So he was holding the child, you know, like this. And, you know, you have to go through a river in the dark. So it's very difficult, you know. And then it is said that at one point, he lost the child. And it is said that at that time, you know, they were in Vrindavan, and there was, from Vasudev, Krishna became Krishna, like, and then he found it again. Can you imagine? My child. And then he fortunately found it. So then he went to the palace, and everyone was there also fast asleep. So silently, can you imagine? Big drama. So he brought the child, you know, he switched the child, went back to his house, to the prison, put the chains back on, like that. So then the guards heard the crying, and then Kamsa came, and then he said, give me that child. And Devaki, because he had seen that it was, because he was forgotten, was it a boy or a girl? Oh, it's a girl. Well, I thought it was a boy. You know, all Yogamaya and all like tired from giving childbirth. They said, but my dear brother, it's a girl. It's a girl. Jai Sisi Radhagokunama Sitalama. Sisi Goni Dai Ki Jai. He says, it's a girl. It's, please don't kill her. It was a boy. This is a girl. Please don't kill her. He says, you know, give me the child. And he just grabbed the child, and he was about to just, how you call that? How you call this? Smash it on the floor. Just like, you know, and then somewhere or other, the child just went from his hand, and it transformed into an eight-armed goddess. In each arm, she had a weapon, like a trident, a sword, a hook, or all kinds of weapons. And he was like, and she was, comes! You know, she went big voice and loud and angry, you know, and he was like, and she went like, child, but he says, comes, you know, don't you know, you stupid man, you know, the child was destined, you know, to kill you. It's somewhere else, you know. So, like that. And you think you can kill me? Pathetic fool, like that. So then, Kams was completely, oh God, what have I done? Sorry. You know, can you imagine? If a demigod appeared to anyone, a big, powerful person who looks angry at you, you go, sorry. Even if he's this big of Kshatriya, you know, she's more powerful with, you know, sword, shield, and he has only two arms, you know. He's not like Ravana. So, and then afterwards he was so remorseful. He was so remorseful. And he said, oh, Devaki Vasudev, what have I done? And he was really crying, really like remorseful. He says, what have I done? You know, how could I be so atrocious of killing so many children? Please forgive me, please. And Vasudev, he wasn't, yeah, you are. No, he says, my dear Kams, he says, it's all due to destiny. You know, like this, it happens. It's all right. Like that. So Kams was relieved. Vasudev was not angry at all. Devaki, maybe a little, but crying a little, but she didn't show it at least. And so he went relieved at all to his palace. But then, you see, he had some ministers, you know, advisors. Any king has advisors, you know, who tells them what to do and this, you could do this, or this is maybe not such a good idea. Like PR men and also like this. So, and they were evil. They were very evil. And they were saying, this is not good. This is not good. No. This is not good, Your Majesty. You know, you know what? He says, we should, one said, we should kill all the children, you know, in this country. And that's what, like Herod in the Bible, you know, he gave the order to all the children in Jerusalem, Bethlehem, or wherever there was a child within, born the last 10 days, you know, should be killed. So he said, any child who was born these last 10 days should be killed. Then at least, you know, this your sworn enemy will be one amongst them. If you just kill them all, that's the only way, Your Majesty, please, that's the only way to do it. I know it's, people won't like it. But, you know, many angry people, you know, whose child will be killed, but it's the only way to survive. You have to, it's your, he's destined to kill you. We have to kill. And Kamsa, hearing his advices, agreed to that. So then he thought, what to do? So then the ministers came, suggestions, and the first one they suggested was Putana. So now we skip them because each day someone is talking about, has been talking about these other demons, Trinivarta, Agasura. So we're talking about Kamsa now. So we continue with the story when at one point Krishna is about 12 or 15 years. Sometimes it is at 12, sometimes 15. And Narada Muni appears again at the court of Narada, of court of Kamsa. And Kamsa is very pleased to see Narada again. But he was a little, not so happy with him because the advice he gave him was not really, you know, it didn't work out, did it? So he said, nice to see you after your last advice. but still, nice to see you. And then Narada again. He said, you know, like that. And he was telling him that, you know, like this and this and this. This child, you know, your sworn enemy who's destined to kill you. You know where he is, you know, Nanda Maharaj. He gave shelter to him. And, you know, what you should do is try to allure that boy to Mathura, you know, because every time you sent a demon over there, he was killed, right? And what you should do is find a way to get this boy here. And you should find someone he can trust, you know, not one of your enemies, not those funny-looking, strange-looking ones with the big teeth. No, someone they trust. Akrura, his uncle. Akrura was living in Mathura. He says, how about Krishna's uncle, Akrura? So Kamsa requested Akrura, you know, story goes. So Krishna, he goes to Mathura along with his brother. And there, Kamsa in the meantime, with his ministers, they made a plan, you know. So they had, if Krishna comes, you know, first of all, we have this, what did they have first on the way? What did Krishna Balaram see? Who did they meet? A big elephant named Kuvalyapida. And he was not a nice elephant like Gulab was in Mayapur, but he had a bad temper. And he was huge, male, and very aggressive. Because every animal is also, some are nice. So you have nice elephants, and you have angry elephants. You have nice dogs, and you have angry dogs. One time I was on Sankirtan in Amsterdam, and the houses are very, you know, the stairs, like, you know, they are very, like, they're going very steep like this. So one time I ring on the door, and the door opened, and then I hear, woof, 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 you know, and a big German Alsatian, you called him, I think, came down. I said, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then he came down, and then passed urine here, next to me, not on my leg, but next to me. And then the lady who owns the dog, she said, oh, he always does that when he's afraid. Yeah. So anyway, so you have also scared big animals, you know. And so like that. So but this elephant was very, very angry. And so Krishna, he didn't let. And then there was, of course, there was a little guy sitting on top of him who was going, get him, get him, get him. You know, get that blue one, yeah, and that white one as well. Like that. And try to, you know, get him to kill them. But Krishna, was it Krishna or Balaram? Krishna, huh? Who killed Kuvalyapida? Who was it? I forgot. Krishna killed him. And then, so then at the end, they killed him and they took the, how you call them? Husks? Tusks. They just broke it off. So strong they are, you know, they just break from an elephant, just a tusk, you know, you're not like, no, you just want, you know, like that. It's Krishna. So sometimes he's so amazing, just like Govardhan Hill with it. So what, if he lifts up Govardhan Hill, you can just go in the air. You know, anyway. So they both have this, it's described that they arrive in Mathura, that they're sprinkled with the blood of Kuvalyapida, and they were carrying these tusks. So then they were approaching the arena. So then Kamsa was still in his palace, and then the messenger came. Oh, your majesty, oh, bad news again. Kuvalyapida is slain. What? You know, can you imagine? Completely excited. What? Kuvalyapida? An elephant like this, oh God, and he had another plan already. He had another plan in case it worked out. There were fighters, there was a wrestling arena, and there were fighters, they called Chanura and Mustika. They were the big ones, the main ones, the very big, very huge. And, you know, he called them over, Chanura, he said, come here. You know, he says, you know, kill Krishna. You know, kill this Krishna. Mustika, you kill this Balaram. Like that. At that time, the arena, you know, like if you see the, in Rome, well, it's been in Rome, like arena, or maybe you've seen a movie, like The Gladiator or something like that. The arena, like that. You know, they go like this. All the seats. And everyone was there. You know, all the inhabitants of Mathura, but also of Vrindavan, wasn't it? Nanda Maharaj was there, and all the coward boys were there. And then it is said, I just remember that, it's very nice to remember that, that when Lord Krishna arrived in the arena, do you remember, Prabhupada says in the purport, that different living entities saw Krishna in a different way. Can you remember anyone, not an older Prabhupada disciple, anyone new, even younger, anyone new who remembers how they saw Krishna? Yes? Go on. Yeah, okay, so some saw him as a little beautiful boy, probably the gopis of Vrindavan, or maybe all the ladies of Mathura. And Gauri, what was the second one? The wrestler saw him as a thunderbolt. Anyone else? Sivakananda? The yogi saw him as a super soul. So there were also yogis present. Imagine they were invited to him. So somewhere or other they were just sitting in yoga, and then somewhere or other they found themselves in the arena. And they had their eyes closed and they opened it. Mm-hmm. How did a yogi arrive in an arena, a wrestling arena? Very amazing, isn't it? Anyway, so they all saw them. They were all like, so the hero enters, and everyone like, so they were all like, either like, wow, heavy, afraid, and others saw the object of my meditation. And the others saw, oh, isn't he sweet? And like that, you know. And then at the end, and the mothers, they were going, oh, so sweet child. Like that. Mother Devaki was there. Mother Devaki, was she there? Mother Devaki, she hasn't seen him since he was there. She's never seen him, because she thought she might have seen him, but then in a glimpse, she forgot about it. But as soon as she saw Krishna, she felt this affection, this motherly affection, which sometimes mothers have. You know, even if a child is taken away or you meet up with a real, they feel a motherly affection. Sometimes the milk is flowing from their breast spontaneously. Just, it's like that. It's wonderful. So then Krishna was there, and Balaram, and Kamsa said, Chanura! So Chanura says, so, Krishna, we've heard all about you. Yes. Oh, you killed so many demons. He said, Krishna said, no, but I'm not a match to you. Look at your size. I'm this small. I'm just a young boy, and I'm just a coward boy. You know, and you don't fool me. You know, like, come on, let's wrestle. And then they were wrestling, and they said they were, you know, like hands against hands, tights against hands, and they're pulling and pushing, and you know, they were all there, like also Krishna like that, you know. I mean, he's not just, he's God, he just acts like, I mean, you know, and Chanua is somewhere there. No, he goes, yes, because in this way, you know, he doesn't show his strength yet, you know, he really goes, oh, you know, and he also goes like this, or else there's no fun in it. You know, all this pastime. If Krishna shows all the time that he's God, then he just go, Mustika, and he just take a blade of grass, just like Balaram, and just goes, boom, and he's dead. No, he really goes into the fighting, and he's sweating, and then Chanura makes a move, and everyone, all the devotees of Krishna go, and then Krishna makes a move, and everyone, and then it comes to go, got him! So it's all the time it goes like this, and this lila, this is pastime, and this anxiety, this eagerness, that purifies your heart, you know, not just this, but also, die, Krishna! Oh, Krishna, no! It all purifies your heart, your cry, your tears, your laughter, your hooray, you see, like that. And Krishna, because Krishna is a person, just like if you would be fighting and I would cheer you on, and go, yeah, you would like it. Say, he's my man. Like, right? Isn't it? And if I would do it with the enemy, you think, I thought he was my friend. Wasn't it? Like that. So Krishna's like that. So there's another test. for all those persons in Mathura to be either on the side of Kamsa or on the side of Krishna. They oblige financially, maybe. Well, I'm working for him. You know, I get my paycheck of Kamsa. But, you know, this boy is really nice. And actually, this, you know, Kamsa is not really nice, is he? Like that. So there is this also, those people there watching. Can you imagine how they feel? And they say, and because they see Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Lord Balaram, they all attractive. So if some, you know, it's like, wow. And then they're amazing, fighting against a wrestler which is like this huge, you know, like muscles like this, you know, and, you know, like these wrestlers which you see in WrestleMania, whatever, you know, and then 10 times more. You know, all those people who pop pills, you know, to get their muscles up like that, and they can't hardly move. They walk like this because they're all tight like that. But they were, you know, they were exercising, so they were also loose, those fighters. So then it goes on and on and on and on. And then finally, you know, Krishna, you know, first, who was killed first? Mustika or Chanura? Chanura by Krishna. And so then, you know, everyone, and then the ones close to Kamsa, horrible, like that. Sorry, Majesty, no, horrible, sorry. And then, you know, and then Balaram got, and he killed Mustika, right? So like that, and then Kamsa became berserk. He said, what? I order that this Krishna Balaram should be killed! Kill them right away! Vasudeva as well! And my grandfather! And my father! Everyone should be killed! Like this, he became completely berserk. And then Krishna looked at him, and he jumped on the royal dais, because everyone is sitting like this, but then there is a special, just like I'm sitting higher than you, so the king, he has a special dais, maybe with an umbrella above him, etc. So he went, you know, he jumped up the royal dais, and he grabbed, it is said, Kamsa by his hair to the middle of the arena. And then he went, bam, bam, tch, 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 and then...